Good afternoon from Great Kills Park in the Bay Terrace section of Staten Island. On the update this Tuesday, soon it'll just be New York City left to reopen. The Mid-Hudson Valley entered the first phase of the state's four-part reopening process today after Governor Cuomo said that the region had met the criteria for reopening, with Long Island opening tomorrow if everything stays on track. The governor also rang the opening bell as the trading floor of the New York Stock Exchange reopened for the first time in 2 months. We'll have the latest details. The virus hasn't been particularly kind to car owners, with more people than ever staying home to lessen the spread. Their sedans, pickup trucks, and SUVs are parked unattended on the street, and making them an easier target for thieves. With no baseball at Fenway Park, Boston Red Sox ballpark organist Josh Cantor has been offering a live-streamed virtual seventh-inning stretch every day on Facebook. And in other news, the FBI and Minnesota agents are now investigating the death of a black man in Minneapolis. It's in police custody after video from a bystander showed a white police officer kneeling on his neck. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey wrote on his Facebook page, quote, "Being black in America should not be a death sentence." This is the update, Tuesday, May the 26th, 2020. This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road. And a very pleasant Tuesday to you, Brandon Julian here, the host of the Update Podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's Road Stop, we begin our Staten Island series of shows. Today's Road Stop is Great Kills Park, which is a national park. And I didn't know that, in the Bay Terrace section of Staten Island. Staten Island, I should say, is wifey territory for me. It's a lovely little place. and that makes the Staten Island series of shows we're doing just all the more fun. We have a lot of news to get to this Tuesday, including, of course, the latest coronavirus developments. There are several counties north of here in the city that entered the first phase of the state's four-part reopening process today after Governor Cuomo said that the region had met the criteria for reopening. Those criteria include declining deaths and hospitalizations linked to the virus. Meanwhile, here in the city, Mayor de Blasio has said that the city has hired 1,700 contact tracers, a crucial step to getting the city closer to meeting the reopening requirements. The trading store and the New York Stock Exchange also reopened for the first time in 2 months. The governor rang the opening bell today. Traders are now required to wear masks and stay 6 feet apart. We're going to talk about more about the Stock Exchange reopening in just a moment. There are some dangerous blood clots that can now cause strokes and other life-threatening problems. They're increasingly being reported in coronavirus patients. Even tiny clots that can damage tissue throughout the body have been seen in hospitalized patients and in autopsies. This feature of the disease is now confounding doctors' understanding of what was once considered mainly a respiratory infection. It's also raising questions about prevention and treatment. Some conditions that make some COVID-19 patients vulnerable to severe complications, including obesity and diabetes, can increase the clot risks. But many authorities believe how the virus attacks and the way the body responds also plays a role. We mentioned at the very start that the trading floor of the New York Stock Exchange reopened today for the first time in 2 months, and the state legislature was set to reconvene as New York is relaxing some more restrictions aimed at curbing the spread. Governor Cuomo, of course, rang the opening bell of the Stock Exchange. Traders are now required to wear masks and stay 6 feet apart. The legislature will be in session today for the first time since the virus forced lawmakers home last month. Most lawmakers are expected to participate from home through video and teleconference. The trading floor of the stock exchange is reopening for the first time in 2 months, but for now it just doesn't look or even sound the same. The floor, known for the chaotic proximity of traders shouting orders one over another, has been closed since mid-March due to the outbreak. Fewer traders will be on the floor today in order to support 6 feet social distancing requirements. They also must wear masks, so no verbal interest orders will be allowed. Anyone entering the exchange is also being asked to avoid public transportation and will have their temperature taken before re-entry, before entry. This past Memorial Day weekend that just ended, we said that the mayor said during his briefing that anybody that went swimming would physically be dragged out of the water by the NYPD and or the Parks Department. Well, Curtis Sliwa donned a wetsuit and his trademark Guardian Angels red beret and strode into the water at Coney Island in defiance of the mayor's no swimming order. A crowd cheered on Sliwa as several city Parks Department officers tried to order the Guardian Angels founder and New York mayoral candidate out of the surf back on Sunday. Sliwa told the New York Post that he was making the point that it's unfair that people can swim in Long Island and at the Jersey Shore, but not at Coney Island. De Blasio, of course, last week threatened summonses for violators of his no-swim order aimed at keeping the virus under control. Of course, this past Memorial Day, New Yorkers were marking the day with car convoys and small ceremonies instead of the big parades as the virus has reshaped the solemn holiday, blending tributes to virus victims and frontline workers with the traditional remembrance of the nation's war dead. In a year that marks, of course, the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II, veterans wore masks and saluted on Monday while standing at social distancing intervals at observances that have been shrunk by virus precautions. At the Intrepid in Manhattan, where the governor delivered his daily briefing, the governor honored both veterans and essential workers on a Memorial Day that he called, quote, especially poignant and powerful. And out west in Los Angeles, the virus has just not been very kind to car owners. With more people staying than ever at home to lessen the spread, their sedans, pickup trucks, and SUVs are parked unattended on the streets. And that, of course, makes them easier targets for thieves. Despite the silent streets and nearly non-existent traffic, vehicle larceny shot up about 63% here in New York, and nearly 17% in Los Angeles from January 1st through mid-May, compared with the same period last year. Many law enforcement agencies around the U.S. are reporting an increase in stolen cars and vehicle burglaries, even as violent crime has dropped dramatically nationwide in this pandemic. There is other news of this Tuesday to address, and we will address those when the update with Brian and Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just 30 seconds.
A social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book, take a walk, unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September, paint a self-portrait, catch up on a TV series, do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. Some of the other news of this Tuesday. We've learned that longtime broadcast news executive William J. Small, who led CBS News' Washington coverage during the Civil Rights Movement, Vietnam War, and Watergate, and was later president of NBC News and United Press International, died on Sunday, according to CBS News. He was 93. Small, whose career spanned from overseeing the news operation at a small radio station to testifying in Congress about press freedom, died in a New York hospital after a brief illness that's unrelated to the virus, according to the network. During a six-decade career, Small supervised, guided, and in some cases hired generations of some of the best-known reporters and anchors in the history of television news, including Dan Rather, Connie Chung, Diane Sawyer, Leslie Stahl, and anchor Bob Schieffer. We've also learned that Jimmy Cobb, a percussionist and last surviving member of Miles Davis's 1959 Kind of Blue groundbreaking jazz album, has died also. His wife, Elena T. Cobb, announced on Facebook that her husband died on Sunday also at his New York City home from lung cancer. He was 91. Born in Washington, D.C., Cobb was a drummer on the Kind of Blue jam session, headed by Davis. It also featured Cannonball Adderley and John Coltrane. It is the best-selling jazz album of all time. Cobb says he and his bandmates knew the album, released on August 17, 1959, would be a hit. It has sold more than 4 million copies. Here in Staten Island, in other news, authorities say that a boat caught fire with 5 people on board off the coast, sending 3 of them to a hospital. Firefighters were called around 8:30 yesterday morning to a spot off the island's east shore. Photos that were posted by the Staten Island Advance show a heavily charred hull. The FDNY says that while 3 people on board were taken to a hospital, 2 others were treated at the scene. To Long Island we go now, out of Southampton, where 5 ducklings were rescued yesterday from a Long Island storm drain as their mother looked on, according to police. The ducklings were first spotted around 1:15 in the afternoon in the drain on Flanders Road in Riverside, a small community that's about 14 miles west of Southampton. It took about an hour for police officers, firefighters, and wildlife rescuers to pull the ducklings to safety using nets, according to Southampton police. And it may have been plagued with controversy after Oprah Winfrey pulled out as executive producer, but On the Record has moved on. The new hashtag MeToo documentary about rape accusations against hip-hop mogul Russell Simmons is a powerful look at one woman's agonizing decision to go public and an exploration of misogyny and sexual harassment in the music industry. Most importantly, though, it shines a light on the unique burden faced by women of color, who are often not believed or accused of being traitors to their own community if they come forward with accusations. The film premieres tomorrow on the new streaming service, HBO Max. Time for us to step aside for a moment when we return on the update this Tuesday from Great Kills Park in the Bay Terrace section of Staten Island, starting our Staten Island series. We'll help you get around with the MTA Essential Service Plan. We're going to talk some sports and talk about, even though there's no baseball yet, the Red Sox ballpark organist Josh Cantor has been offering a live-streamed virtual seventh-inning stretch every day on Facebook. We're going to talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including how the president is demanding assurances from North Carolina's governor that the Republican National Convention can go forward in August, despite the coronavirus fears. We will discuss that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, and also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
What can I possibly do to make this stressful time a little better? Here's one thing I found. It's a small thing, a simple thing, a remarkable thing. Smile. You can share a smile from more than 6 feet apart. You can share it socially with the whole world. In fact, right now, I'm smiling at you. And I hope you're smiling back, because smiling is in you, from PassItOn.com.
From New York City, doing business in the same location since 1904, this is The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Because the MTA is running an essential service plan for essential employees only, service on most lines will be running a frequency of at least every 10 to 30 minutes. Also, there is no scheduled service on the B, Grand Central Shuttle, W, and Z trains. For alternate service, you can use the 7, C, D, J, N, Q, or R trains. As a reminder, the subway is closed every night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. for cleaning and disinfecting of trains and stations. For alternate means of travel to get around during those hours, visit mta.info/overnight.
From New York City.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Let us talk some sports on this Tuesday. And out west in Los Angeles, it's going to be a way different kind of year. And the ESPYs will be as well. For the first time, the show will feature three hosts in remote settings and also a changed focus. Instead of honoring the past years as top athletes and moments in sports, the show is celebrating heroism and humanitarian aid. Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, soccer star Megan Rapinoe, and three-time WNBA champion Sue Bird will preside over the two-hour broadcast airing June 21st on ESPN. All three live in the Seattle area, and Wilson's singer wife Sierra is likely to make an appearance too. And over in Boston, even though there's no baseball at Fenway Park, Red Sox ballpark organist Josh Cantor has been offering a live-streamed virtual seventh-inning stretch every day on Facebook. The 47-year-old Cambridge resident plays Take Me Out to the Ball Game and fan requests during the sessions that last 30 minutes to an hour. Cantor started on what would have been opening day and got such a good reaction that he decided to continue. He says that he's happy to do something for people who miss baseball and the community feeling of being in a ballpark together. When we return on the update this Tuesday from Great Kills Park in the Bay Terrace section of Staten Island, we're going to talk about what happened on this day in history. And then we will address the latest national news, including how in non-coronavirus developments, in Chicago, shootings there have left 10 people dead and 39 others wounded in the city's deadliest Memorial Day weekend since 2015. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
Keep it tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
Hi, I'm Amine. Sometimes starting a conversation with a friend about mental health can feel awkward, but your support can make a huge difference. You know your friends best, so if you feel like something's wrong, trust your instinct and reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
They say singing can help you remember things, so here's some tips for parents out there during these tough times.
Number one!
Make sure your kids wash their hands for 20 seconds after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside.
Two!
Virtual play dates. Social and physical distancing can help save lives.
Three!
Tell them they're safe and show your love and pride. Yes, we'll get through this together. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Of all the radio stations in New York, we just happen to be one of them. This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mix Cloud channel. Today's road stop, starting our Staten Island series of shows, is Great Kills Park in the Bay Terrace section of the island. By the way, if you've been listening to our podcast, and if you have, I incredibly thank you, you may notice that I might be sounding a little bit different. And let me explain. Usually I have like a headset with me that I've been recording these shows. But over this past weekend, I was digging around in a bunch of my old stuff, and I found an old travel microphone that reminds me of the microphone we had in the WKRB studios. And it turns out it still works. I mean, there's no screen pop filter, but it still works, and that's what counts. So it's nice to have a microphone with me that gives me that, at least gives that old, that radio station feel once again. Those people in who used to listen to me on the radio would have a better understanding of what I'm talking about. Anyway, let's talk about what happened on this day in history for this May the 26th. The highlight of his day came in 1981 when 14 people were killed when a Marine jet crashed onto the flight deck of the aircraft carrier USS Nimitz off Florida. In 1864, President Abraham Lincoln signed a measure creating the Montana Territory. In 1868, the impeachment trial of President Andrew Johnson ended with his acquittal on the remaining charges. In 1938, the House Un-American Activities Committee was established by Congress. In 1940, Operation Dynamo, the evacuation of some 338,000 Allied troops from Dunkirk, France, began during World War II. In 1971, Don McLean recorded his song American Pie at the Record Plant in New York City. It was released the following November by United Artists Records. In 1972, President Richard Nixon and Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev signed the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty in Moscow. The U.S. withdrew from that treaty in 2002. In 1978, Resorts Casino Hotel, the first legal U.S. casino outside Nevada, opened in Atlantic City, New Jersey. In 1994, Michael Jackson and Lisa Marie Presley were married in the Dominican Republic. The marriage, however, ended in 1996. In 1998, the U.S. Supreme Court made it far more difficult for police to be sued by people hurt during high-speed chases. Also, the Supreme Court ruled that Ellis Island, a historic gateway for millions of immigrants, was mainly in New Jersey and not New York. In 2004, nearly a decade after the Oklahoma City bombing, Terry Nichols was found guilty of 161 state murder charges for helping carry out the attack. Nichols later received 161 consecutive life sentences. In 2005, President George W. Bush received Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas at the White House. Bush called Abbas a courageous democratic reformer and bolstered his standing at home with $50 million in assistance. And in 2009, President Obama nominated Federal Appeals Judge Sonia Sotomayor to the U.S. Supreme Court. Also, California Supreme Court upheld the Proposition 8 gay marriage ban, but said that the 18,000 same-sex weddings that had taken place before the prohibition passed were still valid. When we return on the update this Tuesday from Great Kills Park in the Bay Terrace section of Staten Island, we will address the latest national news, including how, in other non-coronavirus developments, the husband of a woman who died accidentally in an office of then GOP Representative Joe Scarborough 2 decades ago is now demanding that Twitter remove President Trump's tweets suggesting that Scarborough murdered her. We will address that and more in the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Pass it on.
Now's the time to stay apart. Social distancing. But I'm adding something else. Pull together. What's pulling together while we're staying apart? It's calling family to check in on them. It's waving to your neighbor. It's the things we should have been doing all along. And when this tragedy passes and we're able to come together, we'll be stronger than ever because we've already pulled together. Stay apart. Pull together.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com. You notice lately how empty everything is? Empty streets, empty stores, empty schools. But I'm trying to change these empty times by being full of gratitude. Gratitude means saying thanks to the garbage collector, the medical providers, and all those who are helping every day. Things may appear empty around us, but when we're filled with gratitude, nothing is completely empty inside us. Gratitude is in you. From PassItOn.com.
From New York City, it's after 10 a.m. Do you know where your boyfriend is? This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's Road Stop, starting our Staten Island series, Great Kills Park in the Bay Terrace section of Staten Island. I still did not know that this is a national park. I need to start taking better notes. let's address the latest national news this Tuesday. And these are non-coronavirus developments, at least most of them are. We will begin in Washington, where the president is demanding assurances from North Carolina's Democratic governor that the Republican National Convention can go forward in August despite coronavirus fears. This comes as at least one GOP governor began lobbying for the convention to move to his state. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp sent an open plea to Trump today to consider his state as an alternative site for the quadrennial convention, which is set to gather more than 2,500 delegates and 1,000 more guests, press, and security officials. Plans have been underway for more than a year to host the convention in Charlotte, but Trump and national Republican officials have expressed concerns that local officials may not allow gatherings of that size amid the pandemic. In Chicago, shootings there have left 10 people dead and 39 others wounded in the city's deadliest Memorial Day weekend since 2015. The shootings happened despite a statewide stay-at-home order aimed at slowing the spread. Chicago police increased patrols in anticipation of a spike in violence, as typically occurs over the Memorial Day, July 4th, and Labor Day weekends. According to data maintained by the Chicago Tribune and Chicago Sun-Times, there were three times more homicides than recorded in either of the Memorial Day holiday weekends of last year and 2018. 12 people died over the same holiday weekend in 2015. Going back to Washington, the husband of a woman who died accidentally in an office of then-GOP Representative Joe Scarborough 2 decades ago is now demanding that Twitter remove President Trump's tweet suggesting that Scarborough murdered her. Lori Klausutis died in Scarborough's Florida office back in 2001. Timothy Klausutis asked Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey in a letter last week to delete Trump's tweets. Twitter says it's working to, quote, more effectively address things like this going forward. Trump, of course, has feuded with Scarborough, who hosts MSNBC's Morning Joe. Trump has tried to implicate Scarborough in the death, even though Scarborough wasn't in Florida at the time, and Scarborough himself has urged Trump to stop. Medical officials ruled Lori Klausutis fainted and then hit her head. And finally, in Minneapolis, the FBI and Minnesota agents are investigating the death of a black man in Minneapolis police custody after a video from a bystander showed a white officer kneeling on his neck. The video that was shared online shows the man pleading that he couldn't breathe. Police spokesman John Elder says that officers were called to investigate a report of a forgery at a business around 8 o'clock yesterday evening. Elder says that the man, quote, physically resisted arrest. He died at a nearby hospital. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey apologized to the black community in a post on his Facebook page saying, quote, being black in America should not be a death sentence. Our thought for today is from Anna Sewell, an English author born in 1820 and died in 1878. Our thought for today is, I am never afraid of what I know. I'll let you guys ponder on that. That is the update on this Tuesday. I'm Brandon Joyen, and we'll see you back in Midland Beach tomorrow.